welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
Yeah.
Star of Ephes, the movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, star, dude. Number one star. Top build.
Yeah. Top build is not even listed, actually.
What?
There's a lot of names.
I mean, we talked about that on the last episode. We'll probably touch on it again because we're coming up on that pretty quickly. But I do want to first congratulate you on something else. I want to congratulate you on making the Fantasy Hockey League playoffs.
Yeah. There's a lot of things I want to say about that, but it really all comes down to never a doubt. Always knew, always felt it within. It was just a matter of time. It's a long game. And I'm playing it now. I'm in.
How are we looking so far with your matchup this week?
It's a dogfight.
Okay.
It's a dogfight out there.
A
lot of help from Brady Tkachuk deciding to get a 10 minutes misconduct tonight at the end of the Bruins game.
Ooh,
that
that's
was big for me.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. The goal helped also. You know, I'm up against your brother, and he's got a serious team, but there's a chance I can get through today still in the lead, playing with one less player.
Omar kind of went off today too, so like he was having a great game.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Yeah.
It was those classic situations where in the second period the Bruins are half as many shots as the other team and he was standing on his head.
Well, it's definitely he's got a great team, so good luck.
It's gonna be a tough one.
I got the matchup of whoever wins that, so we could be having a very interesting conversation next week.
I'm in. So does that still happens like that?
Well, when I look,
if I beat him, do I not play the top seed as the lowest?
No, I believe looking at the playoff bracket, I play the winner of your like it's just a straight up bracket. It doesn't re-scramble or reseed once we make it to the next round, as far as I know. But we'll see.
I guess we're all gonna learn.
I gotta say though. You know, I hate to say this, but Badger is getting absolutely smacked right now.
Is that by our boy?
He's getting smacked by the auto draft boys, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
King Egan.
Currently, day number two of this week's matchup, 95-20. He's in some
Yikes.
Serious trouble.
Oh, and that's with a full set line.
Yeah, it's not looking great.
I don't know who he chose over Philip Forsberg, but it really would have helped if he had selected him instead.
Yeah, I don't know. Like you said, it's a long game, but being down by 70 points is a tough one to come back from. So, but yeah, I mean, it's great that you made it. I got to be honest with you, it was a real nail biter at the end there, thinking that you weren't going to make it into the playoffs. And you know, the inaugural year of our league, to not have both of us in it felt wrong.
Sure.
But you made it happen. You know, you really dug deep and you left it all out there. And I appreciate that.
I just want to shout out ourselves. Because a huge part of this stretch was calling out how piss poor of a year and giant of a cliff Mr. Alexander Ovechkin fell off, and he finally did it. He's made 20 goals in like 12 consecutive seasons or something.
Wow.
So good for him.
Good for him.
And better for me.
Yes. So speaking of good for him, let's talk about tonight. Good for him, David Pastrnak, for scoring his, I believe it was like 19th hat trick of his career.
Yeah, 17 regular season.
Is that good?
19 all time. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that like
it is.
Like 14
also, two
of
in
those,
the playoffs is crazy.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that like 14 of those are against the Flyers, by the way.
Is that real?
No, I think he tied Gretzky for the most hat tricks against the Flyers or something with like 4.
Wow.
And then he's had a bunch of multi-goal games. Like he for some reason loves to play the Flyers, who we happen to play on Saturday. So maybe we'll see another hat trick.
Who is also sitting in the playoffs as of right now.
So
tomorrow.
I'm glad that you bring that up because the playoff race right now in the wild card is kind of wild. It's all like so yeah. close. Detroit 76, yeah. Tampa 78. Washington right behind them with 75, but then Philly is 78 and they're sitting in the, you know, the last place spot in the Metropolitan. I mean, they could easily get bounced from there. It's possible. There's not a lot of games left, but there's enough. You know, we're looking at like 12, 13, 14 games left for some of these teams, and the playoff picture is not set at all. It's pretty much set in the Atlantic. It's going to be us, Florida, and Toronto in some capacity.
Yeah.
But it's otherwise not really that set. I don't know what it looks like on the West, but let's just see here. 93, 93, 91. I mean, it's all pretty tight over there, too, in the Central. The Pacific, it looks like Vancouver's going to kind of run away with that one. Edmonton and L.A. That playoff picture's looking a little bit more solid, but still, there's a lot of points really close to one another with 14 games left. So, or more. I don't know exactly how many. Some teams might have like 14 to 20, somewhere in between there. But the playoffs are going to be here before you know it, and it's going to be interesting to see what the final bracket sort of comes out to and what it looks like and who matches up against who, because right now, I mean, I hate to say this, but we got the President's Trophy right now. We are number one in the league, and we're in number one in the league by 3 points. So,
yeah,
I don't love it,
but with at least 2 games clear of everyone who's closest.
Sure. So we only got 12 games left. I mean, that's not a lot of games.
Yeah.
No. My main concern with that part of it is, one, here's my two concerns. One, Pat Maroon. When is this guy going to play? And where is he going to go? So for me, the only place
I've seen is that he talked to Frederick before the team photo. That's literally all I've seen of him.
Yeah. The only place that I could see him going, and I hate to say this because I love him, but I think he's going to take that Lauko spot. Because you're not taking Brazo out of this lineup right now. This guy is the real deal.
Silly.
Two really goals silly. Tonight. And solid, strong, big guy. You're not taking Boqvist out. You're not taking Geeky, Heinen, Frederick, any of these other guys out of the lineup. So that seems like the one true place that you're going to put him in. But when is he going to play? Is he going to play 2 games and then we're going to throw him right into the playoffs after he hasn't played for a month and a half?
Right.
It's going to be tough.
You keep Beecher in?
You have to. You absolutely have to keep Beecher in there. He is arguably the only guy on our team that can score, that can win faceoffs. And he's been playing so solid since he's been back. He's had a goal or a couple goals.
Started as a left wing today, too.
Yeah. I don't think that there's any... I think that there's 0% chance that you can take him out. Now, will they actually take him out or put him in, or, you know, replace him? Maybe. But I'll disagree with that all day. Because he has been our savior in face-offs as far as, like, when you need a guy to win a face-off, he's been great at that. And I think this is something that we're going to get into in the offseason, but you're going to see a lot of Beecher next year. You're going to see a lot of, like, some of these guys, Brazo, maybe Richard, or guys that they're going to need to fill lower-level spots in the lineup who have a lot of potential, have a lot of room to grow, and who are on cheap money. So I think that we're talking down the road here, but Beecher is an NHL-ready player. I fully believe that, and I don't want to see him back in the AHL.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what this playoff roster is, regardless. Like, it'll be interesting to see who the scratches are.
Yeah.
Night in and night out. You know, Boqvist held a goal tonight, but is he a name that could be on that chopping block? Maybe, especially since Beecher is so good at faceoffs. You slide him into the center. I don't know. Yeah, I'm curious. I want to see Pat Maroon, though.
Yeah.
Like, at some point. I just want to know. I'm not saying I need Pat Maroon on the you know, third, even fourth line going into the playoffs. I do think he could have an important role and an important impact, but I also, at a certain point, he should play 10 games with this team before we're in the playoffs.
And that's just not going to happen.
And it doesn't look – it's not going to happen.
No.
So
– I think we'll be lucky to get five.
I don't know what this – yeah, I think there's a world we maybe don't get him.
Here's my question for you that is the one that I was, you know, really thinking about tonight. Say the playoffs start tomorrow. I mean, we're close enough to that anyway, but say they start tomorrow. What goaltender do you go with?
Right now, Omar.
You go with Omar right now, really?
Right now? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just think that's since the All-Star break numbers to me.
Yeah.
That's since the trade deadline numbers.
I really do feel
like... played Swayman since the deadline, but I'm of this camp that if we're going to have these two guys, stay the course. I don't want to go with a guy. I want to play them both. I want both guys ready to go. And I know that that's completely unconventional and hasn't happened. But here we are with completely unconventional, hasn't happened team.
Yeah.
You know, like this is the situation we have, and it is a strength. And I don't know, you know, maybe I think you literally alternate throughout.
Until
that starts to go wrong.
I really think that they're hoping that over these next 12 games, that one really shines more than the other to make that decision easier for them.
I bet they are. Right now, that looks like Omar. And I feel like in their gut, they're going to lean Swayman for what the year was. Obviously, it's an all-star campaign. But yeah. I think right now, Omar's playing better.
Yeah. I think...
And I think that's just, again, it clouds it up. Because, again, like, I don't even want to answer that question. I want us to stay the course.
Yeah.
And I want us to do what hasn't been done.
But, you know, I really do think that it also depends on who we match up against. Because I think that that's a big factor.
Yeah, and I think it should be.
Yeah.
Analytics should be our entire run. We feel like a football team. I say this as we're top of the league, but it's just, you know, that's still, it hasn't made sense all year how we flirt with the top of the league. And it certainly doesn't make any sense to me right now, especially with the deadline, especially with all these teams exploding. I would hate to be in the West.
Yeah,
hate to be in the West. You got Vegas showing up as the worst state up against you.
Yeah,
casuals are gonna think Florida. It's like a Florida pull off again if they get out of the first round. It's not. They're stacked.
I would love to see Vegas miss the playoffs. That would be the funniest thing after going all in.
And that's not out of the question.
And playing the system and all that.
Yeah, I think, you know, their other divisional rival might be the team that slips out too. You know, they're points things right now.
Yeah.
One of those two teams could easily not make the playoffs.
I think that the Bruins and Detroit would be an interesting matchup, which is what we are right now. And I don't really love it either because Detroit's kind of had our number. They've played us very well this year. I don't love it, but at the same time, I don't know, man. I think I'd rather play them than Tampa. Tampa just still has those guys that know how to win.
I know, yeah.
And I'm a little bit...
This year... Yeah, sorry, continue.
No, I don't know. I was going to say I'm very concerned about Detroit, though. Like, and also Patrick Kane, this has been, like, turning it on here and there, and especially when you get into the playoffs, I'm sure he's going to be even more. But I don't know, dude. This is going to be an interesting matchup year because it could change literally every day at this rate.
If you forget anything from before October of 2023, well, considering you have to pick Tampa. Just what Detroit has done to us, even as they're a mess.
Yeah.
You know, they're fist fighting each other in practice a couple weeks ago. They've got some serious studs on that team who are savvy veterans, have been there. You know, DeBrincat won last year. Patrick Kane, need we say anything else but his name? No. And they're still a hot mess. And they're still, it looks like a lot of, like, they struggle with bad teams. Like, they go down at San Jose and, like, have to squeak it out at the end. But I like you said originally, I really hate how well it feels like they match up with us this year.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's us assuming we're going to steamroll through them, but they kind of beat up on us the last 2 years. And this year's team is much more mature and much stronger and has way better pieces than the one last year that already kind of did that.
Yeah.
And Tampa, I'm not afraid of this Tampa team.
It's fair. It's definitely fair. I think it's going to come down to how we play. Obviously, I mean, that sounds dumb to say, but like, it's going to come down to what Bruins team shows up as well. You know, like, because any team that stretch that we just had recently where we were going to overtime every game, or, you know, not being able to close out every single night.
Yeah.
If that team is the one that shows up, then it doesn't matter who we match up against. You know, it really matters how we play and what team we decide to put out on the ice for the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting. I'm excited. And another thing that I wanted to talk about for tonight, you know, like I said, Pasta scored the hat trick. Brazo had two. Boquist had a great goal.
Sick.
It was nasty. But, you know, I have seen a lot of Pasta hat tricks. It was crazy to me to think about, like, I don't know if I kind of take it for granted. I'm like, well, I'll just, you know, we'll see another one. But there's people that go to the games that are like, I went to the game where Pasta scored a hat trick and it was sick. And it's always going to be sick. But it just feels like, you know, I hate to sound like a privileged, like, season ticket holder, but like, I've seen it. And I love it every single time. Like, I can't get enough of it. But it's just wild.
And aside from his third goal, like, relatively pedestrian goals. Yeah. One of them extremely soft on the goaltender's part.
Right.
Of the other team. Just like, you know, in terms of what this guy does with scoring. Yeah, not only have you seen it, you've seen way tighter versions of it.
Right.
And again, not to take away from that third goal, because that would be one of the sickest Pastrnak goals I've ever seen. Backhander across the zone, like all the way top shelf, crossing the goalie and somehow sneaking through Shattenkirk, laying out one of their guys. Just like you couldn't movie script a better one than that.
I do also want to say I appreciate you, Pasta, for not doing the shootout move on that breakaway for the second goal. You know, I was fully expecting him to do the move and like not score and just not even look like he was attempting. And that was just a nasty play. I mean, it squeaked in there. Like, it wasn't really the prettiest goal, but a goal's a goal. It doesn't really matter. And he still beat the goalie.
He's catching on a little bit, I think, to that move that everyone has caught to.
Right. Except for apparently Swayman.
Love. Right. That's true. That's hilarious. That or Swayman was like, he does this. Just really dominant force game, but you know, didn't play the second period at all. And a lot of that was the same issue we've always had. You got to be a broken record when the record keeps playing. Sorry. You know, can't see the box and falling down big time in shots. I think still ultimately lost the game in shots. I don't know, some wacky stuff. And, you know, Ottawa, you could say what you want about Ottawa, but, you know, they're always going to try. And they can beat good teams. They've done it this year. Like, they've, you know, some of those wins have come against very legitimate rosters.
Yeah. They're fast. They hit hard. They have some skill. They're definitely going to be, you know, good down the road.
Big time.
But there was some, we won the game. I don't really care. It is what it is. But there was some very, very bad officiating in this game. Like, there were some terrible calls. Yeah. And thankfully for us, it didn't really alter the end goal of the game or the end result of the game. But there were some terrible calls, like phantom calls that didn't happen and whatever. I think we had
The interference power play is still frustrating. Like, because I would just love to hear, like, what do you want him to do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like, he's obviously not going to follow his goalie. And so is the way to avoid a penalty on that interference call to stop playing defense in the play? Like, I really don't get it.
I do want to say, though, shout out to Peak, because he's been playing great since he's been here. Every game that he's been in, he's been really good. Yeah. He's tough. He's playing awesome.
Dude, and just, like, throws his body around. Like, just, like, carelessness with his own safety for the sake of protecting the net. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's like I get Campbell vibes from him, you know, like I really do. Just like Ferentz and stuff. Just like, but what we need and what every team needs, but just something in terms of someone just kind of coming out of nowhere. And like, obviously we traded for him, but you know, just something we haven't seen in a guy in that role in a long time.
Yeah.
I do want to shout out Grizzlick for Potter's great setup for that tip.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, a guy that we've been kind of like, where are you? A little bit, you know, a little more present tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Fun team. We have more players than we know what to do with on both offense and defense, and that's a nice problem that we've had, because it feels like ever since we started this podcast, and well before we started this podcast, it's always been we're one injury away from being absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel like the case right now. It feels like we kind of got, you don't know what pieces are right, but you have too many pieces for what can fit.
Yeah.
And that's a good problem.
Yeah, which gives you the flexibility to switch it up each game if a guy isn't playing to your standards or
yeah,
whatever.
Which brings us back to, when is that maroon switch up going to happen?
Right. He's got to get in before the end of the season. He has to play. If he doesn't play, I don't, like, as much as I want the toughness, I don't want to bring in a guy who hasn't played in a month and a half or 2 months and then have him try to play at the speed of the playoffs when he's already like a slower guy and doesn't That's know the insane. System whatsoever.
And at that point, he doesn't feel like a break in case of emergency type situation.
Yeah, you would put him in if you were like, we really need toughness. We're getting beat up.
So we got him. When was the deadline? The 8th?
I believe so. First? I actually don't remember.
So I think it was the 8th. I think the first game after the deadline was the Penguins. So he didn't against the Penguins, he didn't play against the Blues, he didn't play against the Canadiens, he didn't play against the Flyers, and now he hasn't played against the Senators. One of those teams is in playoff contention, the rest really not.
Well, I'm pretty sure they said that he's still week to week at this point.
So it could be an injury thing.
Well, there's also
just the world, like our stretch cup right now is far from a walk in the park.
Definitely.
This is the biggest crunch time of our season. This is when I could easily see us falling out of the conversation of that trophy neither of us want. The rest of the stretch is, aside from three games, nine playoff caliber teams that we're up against.
You got the Rangers on Thursday. You got Philly on Saturday, who's fighting for every point they can get. Florida,
Philly, I'm kind of putting in the bottom end of that.
Yeah, but
they're a playoff team right now.
No,
they
want
yeah.
every point that, you know, yeah. they're going to be playing their hardest game against you on Saturday. The Panthers, who just want to kill you. Because they want you to know that we're coming in the playoffs.
Yeah,
Tampa.
Yeah. And they want to take – I think they want the title, too. I think they want the take President's it. Trophy. Like, they just want it. Please do. Tampa, Capitals, Predators, straight-up playoff team in the West. Hurricanes again, Panthers again, Hurricanes again, Penguins out of it, fine. Capitals, not really a threat. Senators finish it off.
Tough.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's fucking tough.
Yep. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a very telling stretch that comes up here, like seeing how they react to the teams that are great. And just because, you know, the Rangers are solidified in a playoff spot doesn't mean that they're going to let off the gas. They're going to put out as much effort as they possibly can because they want to show
us
that,
absolutely.
You know, like if you're going to win everything, you're going to have to beat us, you know? So that'll be an interesting game too. I'm looking forward to that, but. Tough games coming up the rest of the year.
Super tough. But yeah, see what you're made of here.
Yeah.
Right before we go in, you're going to have an idea. Not going to end on some easy streak, which I like. I'm glad the tough games are coming up.
Right. But
we'll see what it is.
So Bruins not yet technically clinched the playoff spot, but someone else has. And that would be the Boston Celtics, right? They're playoff bound.
We are playoff bound. Could be the 10 seed at this point, but not looking like it. Yeah, I believe the only team at this juncture that's clinched, in both leagues, because the West is so competitive. 10 games ahead of the second place Bucks in the East. Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what else is good?
What?
Derek White.
He is very good.
But not an all-star, though.
Yeah. I'm going to find things for me to blow blood vessels over. We can find them. You know, two-game skid that we've now turned into a six-game winning streak. Got some... What do we got? Got the Bucks tomorrow. One seed versus two seed. I'm ready for... Come back home, Doc. I hope you leave your head held low. But interesting thing that I brought up to you on the phone that I wanted to bring up this week is the NBA has just decided to change in the middle of the season. I don't know if any of you have watched close enough, but maybe this will make some of you just hockey guys watch closer. NBA officiating has made a conscious decision to reel back what constitutes a foul and allow a lot of physicality in the game, something that people would say feels like the playoffs more, but bringing it into a regular season matter. And you and our fans, we both are very confused at the wheel out. Ultimately, the end result has been better and will be better for the game that was heading towards, you know, heading past soccer. I think it had already kind of matched up with trying to sell calls in soccer.
Yeah.
Which I get on the pitch more than get in the NBA, because the NBA, we have the ability. It should be a physical game. Basketball is a physical game.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be able to tackle and punch people, but it's like contact happens.
I don't know.
You should be able to tackle and punch people.
Yeah.
We're going to turn into a slam ball podcast. But yeah, you know, I don't think it's hurt the Celtics in any way. Has certainly hurt some of the statistics of heavy foul shooters and upwards of stars and stuff. But yeah, pretty interesting to watch, especially as the season winds down at this point. But yeah, it's going to, what does it mean? Is it going to go an extra level in the playoffs? I don't even know, but I'm excited about it. It's just interesting that it wasn't something that was voted on by the owner in the offseason, but also I don't think there's like parameters for it. It's just kind of, they told the referees to look away or look less at, or try to call less of this or whatever.
Have you been noticing it already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Big time. Big time. There's games where you'll just see like DeMontis Sabonis getting absolutely hacked in the paint and the game's too close for a ref to call. It's like, it's vivid in a lot of ways. I don't think it's like your casual fans not really necessarily going to pick up on it unless they see one that's not called and then they're like, wait, what? But yeah. Yeah, it's here. I'm a fan. I've never seen anything like this in sports in terms of rolling out such a literally game-changing rule in the middle of the year.
Yeah, it seems like a very odd time, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And again, hasn't hurt the Celtics. Looking good. Just played two of the worst teams in the NBA, both of the worst teams in the East, the Wizards and the Pistons. Did an interesting version of sitting through that. Sat Derek White, or sat Jalen and Porzingis, and maybe someone else one night. I think between the top three, they sat three of them one night. It was like Horford, Jalen, and Derek sat one night, or Chris Porzingis one night. And then switched it and sat Tatum, Holiday, and, you know, Brown the other, whatever. But yeah, interesting way to handle the lighter part of the schedule, which we were able to still glide through and beat them both by, you know, 20 to 30 points. Yeah, it's looking good, man. I want to shout out Barstool Greeny, the Celtics Barstool guy who said it best. As of the 25-point win the other night against the Pistons, the Celtics are now the fourth best points differential in all time. Passing the 2017 Warriors, just behind, and don't kill me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe the 71 Bucks, which is like Kareem and Oscar Robertson, Showtime Lakers, and the 96. So
seems good.
We're either witnessing the greatest, one of the greatest teams of all time, or one of the greatest choke jobs of all time. And we are kind of at that point. And
I'm, God. You
know, I've aired my concerns about the choke jobs, but yeah, when you're in that conversation, it is your championship to lose. I understand the competition may be better than it ever was and everything like that, but you are still far and away the best team on the court night in and night out.
Let's go.
Let's go. Got to show up. I don't know. I'm excited, nervous down the stretch. They got some put up or shut up games here. Yeah, man. just like last week, it's these next few weeks. It's just like, all right, I don't want to hit fast forward, but I'm also super ready to hit fast forward and know who we're playing.
Right. I want the playoffs to start tomorrow.
Yeah, I do. And like, maybe that's the luxury of having a solidified spot. Obviously, it's a luxury of having a solidified spot. The Celtics being probably a couple games out from clinching the first seed, let alone the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the Bruins, you know, being right there. I don't know. I'm just, they both feel like they're super in. Let's go. I want to see what in means. I'm ready.
Yeah. Me too. I can't wait. I mean, it's the best time of the year when it's playoff time for both leagues. And then, you know, not that we're too excited right now, but baseball season starts.
March Madness right now.
March Madness is coming up or happening. So it's a good time. It's a good time to be a sports fan.
Big time. Big time. MLS is back. And the UFL starts in a couple weeks.
And let's go West Ham.
Let's go LAFC, Liverpool.
No. All right.
I will never walk alone.
Hey, next episode very well may be in person here. We might be doing that this weekend coming up, so.
We're doing it. I'm in. I'm stoked to see you this week. Stoked to share Ephus with. I'm glad I'm going to be there for it. I'm honored I get to be there for it.
Can't wait.
But glad you can swing it. Also, what I realized is Saturday night or Saturday day, I got a place for us to watch in Scituate.
Okay.
I got the sports bar. This girl came in who actually gave me this Bushmills shirt on St. Patrick's Day. Came into the bar, liquor rep for Bushmills. She's from Scituate.
Come on.
Yeah, so we're gonna go to TK O'Malley's to watch the Bruins game before, and then the Celtics play at I think six or 8 o'clock.
So we're right.
So
back
we can
after.
Watch after. Yeah, we're let's right go. Back after. It's gonna be a big sports day. We're gonna have hockey, baseball in the terms of feature film, and basketball. So
stoked
for
wait.
Saturday. Can't wait. Yeah, it's gonna be a blast.
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
I will see you very very soon.
Yes, my friend.
Have
excited
a safe flight.
To be going that way this time. Yeah, well, a couple of them.
Yeah, right.
Two safe flights. Let's hope.
All right.
Let's hope. All right, let's go stretched. All in my head. Watch two.